begin a brand new series today entitled Encounter. And we're looking over the next 5 weeks at different folks in the Gospels who had life-changing encounters with Jesus. And today we're looking at this dude named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a rich guy, but also a dirty guy, man. He was a chief tax collector, and he was known, and those that his team of tax collectors that he managed, they were known for stealing from people. They worked for the Roman government, but they were Jewish. And so they would take the tax bill from the Romans and go to their Jewish friends and family members and would tell them, hey, if they owed $1,000 in tax, they say, hey, well, you actually owe $1,200, and they would pocket the extra $200. And the Roman government didn't care as long as it got its piece, right? And so, obviously, throughout the Gospels, tax collectors are spoken of in such negative context. But Zacchaeus was willing to lay all that reputation aside, to lay that identity aside, just to know Jesus. And everything changed when he came to know Christ. You know, everything changes when we think about the power of the resurrection. Isn't that right? Easter. What does the resurrection mean? Well, it means Jesus is alive. Come on, somebody. He's not dead. He died, but then he rose. He's alive right now at the right hand of the Father. And that's what makes, I said it a moment ago, the Christian faith the most relevant faith there is. That means you can be a good dad today. You can be a good husband. You can be a good man of God. Ladies, that means you can be a great wife and a great mother and walk in the power and the peace of God. That means that God hears our prayers, that he does not slumber nor sleep, that he has conquered death, that he cares about your situation and mine. It means that he's available. Come on now. He's available for advice and for counsel, right? And so he's alive. Listen, the implications of the resurrection, think about this. It means there's hope for the hurting. There's healing for the broken. There's comfort for the grieving. The resurrection means the gospel is for real. Jesus is the answer. The church is alive and the grave is not the end. Isn't that right? And the resurrection means that God's word is true. Following Jesus is worth it. And that which is dead, this is good, can come to life again. A dead marriage, dead relationships, man, a spiritually dead life. I mean, you name it. That which is dead can come to life again because Jesus is alive. It reminds me of a dad that was driving around town with his young son, and they drove by a cemetery, and the grave diggers had been digging a grave, and there was an open grave with a big pile of dirt preparing for a funeral to come later that day. And as they drove by, the young son, he said, Dad, Dad. He said, what? What is it, son? He said, one got out. One of them got out. Hey, I got good news today. One got out. Come on, somebody. He got out. Jesus got up from that grave. And as a result of that, we can experience life transformation, peace and power, lasting joy and love in our heart. The question today is, do you know Christ? Do you know that resurrection power? Do you have a personal relationship with him? See, because Zacchaeus, he had interest in the kingdom, but it wasn't until he welcomed Jesus into his life and took responsibility for his sin and brought it to Jesus and said, I've sinned against you and I'm asking you to come be the Lord of my life. It was only then that he began that relationship with Jesus. Oh, let's dive in together. Luke chapter 19. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me there. Otherwise, verses are on the screen where you can read along with us from there. Luke chapter 19. We're going to start reading together in verse number 1 of Luke chapter 19. It says this, he, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. And so he ran on ahead, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And so he hurried and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, and this is when everything changed. Look, this is repentance. This is turning from my way to God's way. This is confessing my stuff and surrendering to Christ. And he says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. And here is the mission statement of Jesus, Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Father God, in the few moments we have together, pour out your Spirit, open our hearts to your truth. Change us, transform us by the power of your resurrection today. Oh, Jesus, it's in your name we pray all these things. Amen and amen. Well, because Jesus got up out of that grave, that means salvation is available, isn't it? And salvation, we talk about salvation in the Christian faith. You know, what does that mean? You may hear that and think salvation. Some people hear that and they think, man, my life's a mess. It's busted up, broken up, and I need to be rescued. Well, I got good news today. No matter how busted up or broken your life is, God loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. He doesn't look at you in a condemning way today. God's not mad at you, man. He's inviting you into a relationship with him. And yes, judgment comes for those who deny Jesus over a lifetime. But the good news today is you can know him right now. And resurrection power is available. So for those who are busted up, yes, there's salvation. But for others, when you talk about being saved, I mean, good folks hear that and think, well, saved from what? You know, I'm a good person and I got a good job and, you know, I take care of my family and, you know, just trying to do good things in this life. And so what do I need to be saved from? Well, the scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The God who made us gave us his laws and his commands. I don't know about you, but I fall and fail all the time. Don't you? We're sinners. We've sinned. We've disobeyed God's law. And what that does is it separates us from God. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8 goes on to say, but although we're sinners, God has shown us his love in that he sent Jesus to die for us. And so the cross is Jesus in our place. And Jesus rising from the dead is him conquering my sin. And now he has the power to give me new life. So we all need to be saved. And in Luke chapter 19, we see Zacchaeus here. This is a rich dude. Bad reputation in the community, but he's kind of like the mob boss, right? He's stealing from folks, but he's got all he needs. And so he's comfortable and secure in his stuff. But somewhere along the way, he begins to realize what a broken life it is. So you can be down and out, drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, I mean, you name it. And it's easy when you're at the bottom to realize everything's busted up. It's a whole nother thing when you're on top of the world. But even when you're on top of the world, when your identity's in wealth and possession, success, and the stuff of this world, at some point you will come to the same broken place as the alcoholic or the drug addict or the sexually immoral person or the person at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. And so today, listen to me, where's your identity? Zacchaeus is trying to find his identity in all the stuff of this world. But there's a huge hole in his heart. And he realizes he needs something more. And he hears about Jesus. And Jesus calls him out and invites him into a relationship. Notice some things in this passage today. First of all, notice an interest in the kingdom. We see an interest in the kingdom, don't we? It says here that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. In the original language, the idea is he wanted to see what this Jesus guy was all about. He had heard about the miracles and, you know, the healings and the teachings and all this stuff. But he had never personally experienced Jesus. And so there's this deep desire to know who and what he's all about. But don't you know, listen to me, it's a great statement today. Don't you know that interest in the kingdom doesn't mean you're in the kingdom? Now, let me say that again. Interest in the kingdom doesn't mean you're in the kingdom. There's a whole lot of people like the Doobie Brothers, right? Jesus is just all right with me, right? Come on now, somebody start singing it with me, right? He's just all right with me. Well, Jesus has got to be more than all right with you. You got to be more than all right with Jesus in order to receive eternal life. His interest is not what saves him. It's been said before that some people miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance from the head to the heart. And maybe that's some of you here this morning or some of you watching online. You're interested in the kingdom. You're here today because you believe in God and you want to live a good life. And that's good. But listen to me, it's not by good living that we go to heaven. It's not by being a good person. It's by surrender and submission to Jesus as Lord of your life. And thus begins a personal relationship with him. This God who's alive. We talk together. We commune together. He guides me. And I trust in him. And I seek to obey him. I don't always do it, right? Children of God, we don't always do it. But we have his peace and we have his forgiveness, his grace and his power for newness once again. And so interest today, what about you? Why are you here? Why are you here? In our home, we're big baseball fans. I got any baseball fans in the house? Come on, somebody. Baseball fans. I was reading this past week a story from the 1957 World Series. It was the Milwaukee Braves versus the Yankees, New York Yankees. And Hank Aaron was playing for the Braves at that time. The Braves went on to win that World Series in 7 games. And it was said that early in the series that at one point Hank Aaron got up to bat and Yogi Berra was known for just constant chatter, right? All this crazy junk, you know, talking to batters to try to distract them. And when Hank Aaron got up, he said, "Hey, Hank, you're holding that bat wrong, man. You're supposed to turn it around where you can read the trademark." Well, Hank Aaron didn't say anything. He stood there quiet. The very next pitch, he deposited into the left field stands. And when he came all the way around those bases and touched home plate, he looked at Yogi Berra. He said, "I didn't come up here to read." Amen. Right? Listen, why are you here today? Why are you here? Did you come here just because somebody invited you, just with a family member or a friend? I don't say that to be judgmental or condemning today. Let's just get to brass tacks today. Let's get to where the rubber meets the road, right? Why are you here? Are you here just to read the trademark on the bat or to play the game? Are you here just to appease your conscience, or are you here because you really want to know Jesus? Listen, interest in the kingdom doesn't mean you're in the kingdom. It's only those who submit to Christ, surrender to him as Lord, and enter that loving relationship with him by faith that are in the kingdom of God. Oh, we see interest in the kingdom here, but then secondly, aren't you glad we also see an invitation from Christ here? An invitation. And that's what Easter's all about. It's not just some historical account, which it is historically true and real and right. One of the greatest proofs of Jesus, the fact that he is God, is the empty tomb. It's still empty today. Over 500 people were direct eyewitnesses of Jesus. I mean, in the court of law, this is an open and shut case, isn't it? That Jesus rose from the dead and that he is who he said that he is. And so we have this invitation. Easter is an invitation for us. Resurrection is an invitation for us to know God. And that's where Jesus is here with Zacchaeus. He calls him out. Think about it. The whole crowd. Listen, don't let the crowd, by the way, what a great picture today, keep you from Jesus. Zacchaeus said, "The crowd's not going to keep me from seeing him. Whatever it takes. If I have to climb a sycamore tree," little dude, right? You remember the song we used to sing growing up? Those of you who grew up in the church, right? "Zacchaeus was a wee little man." You remember that in Vacation Bible School? "A wee little man was he. He climbed up in," all the kids are fired up, right? I know y'all are excited. "Climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And he said, 'Zacchaeus, what? You come down, for I'm coming to your," what? "Your house today." And Jesus offers us the same invitation. Listen, today I want to come and I want to dine with you. We see here a personal invitation. How does Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? You thought about that? I mean, is he just notorious in the community? Well, possibly. Has he met him before? Well, we don't see in the Gospels where he's met him before. Really, the picture here is the omniscience of God, isn't it? He knows all things. And that's good news today. Listen to me. God knows everything about you and me. If everybody else around us knew everything we thought, Everything that went on inside of us as well as privately outside of us. Boy, there's a whole lot of respect that would be lost, wouldn't it? If everybody could see our thoughts today. And listen, there is a God in heaven. Jesus knows the good, the bad, and the ugly about every one of us. Every thought we've thought, every word we've spoken, yet He calls us by name. You ever heard somebody say before, man, God's got my number. You ever heard somebody, man, God must have my number, all this stuff happening. He don't have your number. He knows your name. He knows your name. You're not just some number in eternity. He knows your name. And He knows all the junk in our life, yet He still loves us and still wants us to be in His kingdom. Which leads to number two. We see a gracious invitation here. You know Zacchaeus was like, oh, crap, man. Think about it. He's been stealing from all these people. Everybody's like, this is a shiesty, dirty, rotten dude. And then Jesus stops in the crowd and calls him out while he's like hanging in this tree. Think about it. He's like, oh my goodness, I am fixing to get land blasted right here in front of the whole crowd. But to everybody's amazement, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, today, you and I fixing to hang out, man. I'm coming to your house. I want to know you. That's what it means, the relationship. I want to know you. And what a picture of the grace of God, man. Zacchaeus, what a beautiful picture of, man, listen, he laid down his embarrassment. Come on, especially men in the room. I don't know about that. I don't know if I can get saved. I don't know about, listen, he laid down his pride. He laid down his shame. He was willing to be embarrassed. In the fleshly appearance sense, in the world's eye, it didn't matter. What an undignified thing to do, to climb this tree when you're this rich guy with this horrible reputation. You're a mob boss. And he's like, I don't care, man. I got to know Jesus. But here Jesus speaks to that and he calls him out. Oh, it's a beautiful picture of the grace of God. Psalm 103, verse 10. Oh, man, I hope this nails your heart today like it does mine so often when I read it. It says, God does not deal with us according to our sins. Anybody else ready to take a lap around this place? Come on now. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay you or me according to our iniquities. Jesus took it all for us on the cross, man. And He invites us. Oh, it's a personal invitation. It's gracious, but it's also urgent. It's also an urgent invitation. Did you see it there? What did He tell him? It says Jesus just passing through. By the way, children of God, what a beautiful picture. God can do more passing through than we can do on our own power, in our own power in a lifetime. Isn't that cool? He's just passing through. And so He looks at Zacchaeus. He says, listen, hurry and come down. And it says that Zacchaeus hurried. He obeyed the Lord. Man, he jumped out of that tree and as fast as he could. He was, oh, this is so good. Listen to me. This may be you today. He was not going to miss the chance he had. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. This life is like a vapor. We're here one moment, gone the next. And Zacchaeus came to that place where he realized, man, this is my shot. This is my chance. By the way, did you know you can't get saved anytime you want to? It's only when you hear the message of the gospel and the Spirit of God starts to work in your heart. He begins to draw you. If there's a desire in you to be saved, that's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. It's not of us. We're sinners, dead spiritually. So when we have this conviction, this desire to follow after Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit of God at work, especially when we're hearing the preaching of the gospel. So today, listen, it's urgent. Don't miss your chance. Don't miss your chance. I still remember Harrison. He's our 11-year-old now. When he was two, of course, he's always been like, half evil Knievel. Any of y'all got like any boys like that, half evil Knievel? You know what I'm saying? Young people, look up evil Knievel today. You'll learn some stuff, okay, if you don't know who that is. He's like half evil Knievel. So at 2 years old, he decided he was on our steps at our house. And he decided he was going to jump off those stairs like all the way down to the landing, right? He's just going to jump. He's 2 years old. Well, he jumped, and of course, needless to say, he hit the bottom step wrong and tripped and hit his head right on the point of one of the spindles on our staircase. Boom! And all of a sudden, I wasn't around right there. I was in the bedroom, and Crystal was doing some stuff around the house. Next thing we hear is this blood-curdling screams. Mom's in the house. You know when something's for real, don't you? You know those screams. It's like, oh, my goodness, what just happened? And so we walk out, and, of course, head puncture, there's blood everywhere. It's already just rolling down his face. It's starting to stain his shirt. And so, needless to say, Mama and I panic. We swoop him up. We make a quick call to some friends. Hey, will y'all come to the house, stay with the rest of our kids? We got to get to the ER. Man, Harrison's like done busted his head wide open, right? And so, man, they're coming, and we're panicking, and we're jumping in the van, and we're trying to get to the ER. And it wasn't until we got to the ER and finally started wiping him off that we realized it was just one little pinhole right there. But, oh, isn't it interesting how when you think life or death is in the balance, how everything changes. Friend, listen to me today. How much more important is heaven and hell? I'm not trying to scare you today, but hell's for real. Hell is meant for Satan and his demons. You know, how could a good God send anybody to hell, right? That's what the skeptics say. He doesn't. He sent his son to the cross to die for us. I mean, how extravagant is that love? How awesome is that grace and mercy? No, don't leave here with the wrong idea of God today. He's not this judgmental, condemning God. He sent his son to the cross. But yet he is so holy and so perfect and righteous in a way that we cannot fathom. So he cannot receive sin into his presence. So we have to go through Jesus and receive righteousness and forgiveness from him. Justification, be made right with God through Christ. So, you know, when life and death is in the balance, everything starts to get real urgent. Everything stops. Today, listen to me. Would to God that everything would stop in your life till you know for sure you know Jesus. So, you know, as we move to a time of response in just a moment, listen, just hit pause on all the stuff of the day, all the stuff of your life, all the distractions and the things. Hit pause. And just say, wait a minute, do I know Jesus? Which leads to number three. Lastly, here we see an investment from Zacchaeus. An investment. This is where this is how you receive eternal life. For Zacchaeus, money was a thing, wasn't it? In fact, it was the thing. It was the thing in his life. And so the picture here is not so much the money that he gives. I mean, when he says, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor and fourfold restitution to those that I've defrauded and stolen from, when you look back in the law of that day, Roman law, what he's saying is, I'm willing to take on the harshest punishment possible under the law. It's personal responsibility. It's an identity issue. What he was doing was he was laying down that old identity to take up Christ, to begin this new identity of following Jesus. Oh, we see humility here, don't we? We see humility here. Again, what a humble picture. This wealthy mob boss of a dude climbing a sycamore tree, running in front of this crowd just to meet Jesus, laying aside embarrassment and shame and all. The crowd's grumbling, man, you know, and he hears it so much that that's what causes the public response of restoring all this stuff. He's willing to stand, think about it, he's willing to stand publicly before his peers, people that he has wronged, and say, I was wrong and I will give it back to you and then some. Humility. So we got to come in humility, but also notice, secondly, generosity. This heart to give, to love, to serve. Again, today's not about money. We're talking about identity. So don't leave here and misconstrue the idea here. What was happening was his whole identity was changing. He said, I used to be all about money and all this stuff. Now I'm going to be all about Jesus. Listen, what about you today? Why are you here? Interest in the kingdom doesn't mean you're in the kingdom. But today, Jesus, with love and grace, he knows the good, the bad, and the ugly, but yet he's inviting you into a relationship with him. What does it take? today, confess your sin, your identity, give it over to the Lord. Say, no longer am I going to be about money or possessions or things of this life or just being a good person. No, no, no. Now, Jesus, it's all about you. I want to serve you all of my days. I want to know you.